What a beautiful expression of worship. Young and old, contemporary, traditional, people expressing their, sharing their gifts, presenting them as an offering, like an incense to Almighty God. And there's something beautiful that happens when we bring all of this together in a place like this, allowing the Spirit to move through each one of us in the way that it intends or that it desires, and something beautiful happens. Worship takes place. Adoration, prayer. And one of the things that happens when we worship is we come to hear, and we come to not only place our offerings, but place our living offering before God, to place our lives before God, and to let that Spirit move and shape us. And so this morning, I want to welcome you, especially this morning if you are a guest or a visitor here with us, family, friends, welcome to worship this morning. It is good that we can be together in this way. It's good that we can worship in this way. It's good that we can hear God's word to us this morning in this way. And there are so many reasons for us to be excited. I think we saw them a little earlier standing up here, moving and singing and expressing and worshiping. There's other good reasons to be excited about what's going on, and you can probably smell it wafting up through the vents into the sanctuary. That is the burnt offering that is being prepared for us downstairs out on the parking lot, and we will partake of that offering together in just a few minutes, and I do hope that you all will plan to stay for lunch, because this is always one of the best lunches of the year. Over the last few months, as many of you are aware, our family has faced a difficult road, and I've come to kind of an epiphany here in the last few months about my life, and I think it could probably apply to many of our lives. And here's the epiphany. We don't always know what's good for us. We don't always know. We might think we do, but we don't always know what's good for us or what's right for us. And I want to encourage you in this just a moment to engage in a little reflective exercise with me. Think back. What I want you to do is think back to an experience in your life that you may not have chosen for yourself, but you were maybe thrust into by circumstances, or you were brought to perhaps even kicking and screaming, where you learned something about yourself. Where you learn something about God's goodness, perhaps. And you learn something that you wouldn't have otherwise learned had you not been thrust into this place, or had you not, because you wouldn't have gone there on your own. For Amy and me, it was a little country church off of the Wabash River in Oreo, Illinois. Don't look for it on a map, you won't find it. It is that small. God led us there 10 years ago, and it was there that we went with a fair amount of kicking and screaming, but in the midst of that experience of living in this small rural farming community and ministering in this small farming church, that we had a chance to meet absolutely remarkable people. People that we would have never otherwise chosen to have our lives intersect with. And it was in the midst of this small thing, this small experience, this small environment that we saw and we experienced how great and big and expansive God's story for our lives, God's love for us, God's purposes for us were. Life as we have come to understand it, and we've hopefully matured along the way as we've gone through our lives together, is not about the grand experiences. It's not about the only powerful relationships or the glamorous places. But as we encounter the depth of a life with Christ, we realize that the power, the possibility, the potential is in small moments, overlooked places, unexpected people. When we learn the depth of life and meaning, when we allow ourselves to be led into those overlooked moments and give ourselves fully to them, even if we go there kicking and screaming, it's there that we can see something of the kingdom of God. And I think we have seen something of the kingdom of God here this morning. There is dynamic, life-altering power in common, easily overlooked things, which is why Jesus so often spoke in parables, because there is wonderful, breathtaking, majestic truths that we can encounter in everyday things, in common elements. And he said, therefore, and we're looking at our text here this morning from Luke chapter 13, Jesus says, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? How many of you would say that your life is pretty normal? Pretty normal, pretty, no Nobel Prizes or Kennedy Center honors coming rolling in, or, you know, professional sports contracts dropping in your laps. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but those things aren't happening to me. But so if we have this fairly normal life, Jesus opens this parable by asking an important question. He says, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall we compare it? And those listening that day might have envisioned him describing something regal, something majestic, something grand, like a castle and a parade and fanfare and opulence. That's what those around him would have been imagining if they would have heard Jesus ask this question. What is the kingdom of God like? They might have thought to themselves of the words of Psalm 8. How majestic is your name in all the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Or they might have recounted to him the opening verses of Genesis chapter 1, where it describes God forming and separating light from darkness, water from the shores, the sun and the moon. Or he might have drawn our attention to the great kingdom and the great palace and temple under the reign of Solomon, robed in all of its splendor. Or even a great tree like the one that's described in Psalm 1 or Jeremiah 17 that's planted by streams of water and grows strong and big and mighty. Any one of these images demonstrate the influence and the power of a king and his kingdom. Any one of these would have surely made the subjects of that king know their place in that order, know their place in the kingdom, as small, as inconsequential, as even subservient. But Jesus, on the other hand, says something special. He says something, he takes this notion of kingdom and he describes it this way. He said, it is like a grain of a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. And then in the following parable, Jesus says that it is like leaven that a woman took and sowed, took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was leavened. Jesus uses these 2 examples of seed, of the mustard seed and the leaven, to describe to his audience what the kingdom of God is like. The mustard seed is one of the smallest of all the seeds, and yeast in its singular form is almost indistinguishable. Yet within each one of these is this amazing potential. Within this little seed and this little ingredient is monumental power. So I was trying to think of a way to illustrate the mustard seed and the leaven, and I thought of this experience that I had when I was younger. I went and traveled to Yosemite National Park. Maybe some of you have been to Yosemite before, and you have seen El Capitan and Half Dome and these great, majestic granite formations that live there. But what is true about each one of them is that El Capitan and Half Dome, these are dead, these are non-living things, these are dead places. But what covers the smooth faces of El Capitan and Half Dome and places like this is this tiny lichen, these tiny living organisms that our parks director, our park person who was giving us the tour said, eventually even these majestic things will topple. These mountains will be leveled because they have this tiny life living inside them. The lichen will one day level Half Dome for one simple reason, and that is that the lichen are alive. They are living. They have potential. They can grow and spread, and they can separate and compromise even these rocks. The little lichen are smaller than El Capitan. Life is a powerful thing. Jesus says that by simply inserting a little bit of life into his, little bit of his life, a little bit of his power into a few disciples, they were going to continue this mission. They were going to change the world. By giving the power of the Holy Spirit to those 70 that were gathered at Pentecost, they would be able to topple the Roman Empire. By planting new churches throughout the Mediterranean that would stay and take care of the sick and those diseased by the plague, they would change the world. A little bit of yeast, a little bit of leaven mixed into the dough can change the entire composition of the loaf. Jesus gives these images of the mustard seed and the leaven for an important reason. There is great power in small things. There's might in the minuscule things that God uses. These children, these lives that we have been given to steward, to care for, these can change the world. Bob Bowman was a swimming coach in Baltimore, Maryland, who one day met an 11-year-old boy, and he was the son of a single mother and who had two older sisters. And one day he came to Bob and he wanted to learn how to swim. Do you know who this 11-year-old boy grew up to be? His name is Michael Phelps. Have you heard of Michael Phelps? The most decorated Olympic athlete in history. He's the greatest swimmer ever to jump into the pool. Although for, you know, maybe an even greater swimmer is sitting up here in the front rows. We don't know that yet. That's yet to be determined. But this parable, I think, is about investing in small things, investing in little things, investing in potential and seeing the value of potential and letting our lives be committed to cultivating that potential. The mustard seed is, and the yeast are powerful images. When the mustard tree grows, it doesn't grow up tall like a great oak tree, but it spreads out wide, growing low and ravenous along the ground. And one of the things that the mustard seed is described as being a place where many birds can come and make their nests and find a place for shelter and find a place of life and purpose and meaning. And that may be a good image for our church. We may not be an oak tree. We may not be a sequoia. Maybe God's calling us. Maybe God's calling you and I to live close to the ground, to grow out wide and strong, and to be a place as a church where many birds can come and find shelter, can find rest, can find purpose. We are a mustard seed. We are yeast planted in Wabash, growing here on the corner of Hill in Miami. Each one of us is surrounded by neighbors, by coworkers, by people who we are being mixed into their environment. If ever there has been an image, I think, for this church, for such a time as this, I think it's the mustard seed and the leaven. Because they may be small in size, but they are great in power. And don't ever let that size or the membership or the budget or these human measurements that we use to describe, don't ever let them describe or determine the potential. Because like those seeds, like that ingredient, there is tremendous power. There's tremendous potential in small things. So let's invest in things that are living. Let's not invest in domes and granite and things that are not living, but let's pour our resources, let's pour our energy into things that are alive, things that can grow, and things that can grow to bear great fruit. Let's close in prayer now, and then we'll sing our closing hymn, and then it'll be time for lunch. And that is good news. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray together. God, we thank you that you have spoken to us in these beautiful and simple and extraordinarily profound parables. Lord, we ask that you would encourage us this morning that this parable of the mustard seed, which is one of the most well-known that we have, that it would sink down deep, that this kernel of your word, no matter how small, would sink down into the soil of our hearts, and that it would grow and it would blossom, it would grow strong and broad, and it would nourish. It would nourish us, and it would nourish so many. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would bless the children of this church. Let this be a tremendous year of learning about you, of learning about your love and your grace and your forgiveness in our lives, and growing together so that each one of us, whether we are 1 year old or 81, would become more and more like Jesus Christ, our amazing, amazing Savior. Bless us today, Lord. Bless the food that we are about to receive. Bless the hands that have and are preparing it for us. God, we are grateful to be your people. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.